You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
This Christmas,
get the princess!
In a time of danger, when all seems lost,
someone help me! You can't do this!
Witness the tale.
The rats have taken the princess!
Of one special mouse.
Here I come!
From Universal Pictures, the beloved best-selling book,
Despero! Where is he?
Becomes a major motion picture.
Are you a man?
Or are you a mouse?
I am a gentleman.
Oh, no.
Discover the mouse.
Let's go.
The whole world can look up to.
Yaha!
The Tale of Despero.
Come on.
Try being brave.
Part of the trailer from a new children's movie that debuts this weekend called The Tale of Despero. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I get excited when I see the trailers for these animated children's films. I don't think they're really aimed at kids anymore. I mean, I think that the film, the quality of the story, the quality of the film itself is now at the caliber of everyone enjoying these kind of stories. Some of my favorites, the ones I don't buy DVDs, but the ones I've actually gone out and bought, all kids' movies. We're going to be talking with the writer and producer of the film, The Tale of Despero, for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. Gary Ross, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, Todd, it's a pleasure to be here.
One of the most moving films I've ever seen, Seabiscuit, you brought from the pages of a book to the big screen. But what's different about bringing a children's book to the big screen?
Oh, I mean, I think that first of all, it's a thrill to write for kids. Well, families, actually. And in this particular case, I was adapting a novel that so many people had loved. It's really the first time a fairy tale has ignited everyone's imagination in a long, long time. And Kate DiCamillo just did an amazing job with it. I mean, it's been a national bestseller for 5 straight years. So, you know, there's a huge amount of responsibility in that. But the first thing you want to do is just preserve the tone and the feeling that people have when they read that book. And, you know, this was a book that was shared between parents and their children at bedsides and provoked wonderful conversations. And it's such a rich, complete experience and such an emotional one that, you know, like Seabiscuit, you want them to feel those same things when they leave the theater.
What's with the ears? They're huge.
He has huge ears. Well, you know, Despero Tilling takes in more of the world than other people. He hears more, he smells more, he sees more. And as such, he really knows his own truth. And I think one of the great lessons for kids in this is about knowing the courage of your own convictions, your own sense of right and wrong, having your own very, very strong convictions about that, no matter what, you know, your peer group may say. And Despero is that. He's very resolute and he's very clear about who he is from the very, very beginning. And he's a wonderful hero in that regard.
Talk a little bit more about this character, because this obviously is what captures the imagination of the people who have read the books, but also, we hope, in the film. Talk about Despero.
Oh, well, he's, like I say, he's really, he's this pluckish, wonderful, unvanquishable little hero. And he may be small, but he doesn't know he's small. He thinks he's a giant. And whereas all the other mice in the village just eat books, he has a curiosity and he decides to read them. So it's a really, really charming, wonderful hero, but he has a tremendous amount of strength and will, and he has the strength of his own convictions. And in the story, there's sort of a cycle of hurt. There's a bunch of characters who, because they're hurt, hurt other characters. And it's really no one's fault. But Despero is the one, because he knows who he is, that he's able to step up and kind of break that cycle. And so it's a wonderful fairy tale that way. And I think it has wonderful stuff for parents and kids.
I imagine that one of the most challenging things about making animated features is getting the right voices, getting the cast together, that will not only bring star power, but also bring the characters to life. Tell us about the cast of Desperate.
Oh, we're so lucky. I mean, we have, you know, a lot of people I've worked with before. Sigourney Weaver, who I worked with years ago on Dave, and she's the voice of the narrator. And it's a very, it's not a normal narrator. One of the things Kate did in the book was talk directly to kids, almost like it was an intimate conversation. We try to preserve that in the movie. Matthew Broderick is the voice of Despero. Dustin Hoffman plays the voice of this rat, Riscuro, and Dustin was just amazing to work with. And I mean, it's an amazing cast. Emma Watson from the Harry Potter series plays Hermione. Kevin Kline, Stanley Tucci. It's, you know, William H. Macy, who I've worked with before in Seabiscuit. I'm really, really lucky.
I wonder, when I'm watching these things, I mean, it comes out and it's magical on the screen. But I wonder, it's kind of a technical undertaking because the animation is so sophisticated now. It's all done in computers. And then you got your actors all over the country just in an empty studio like I am right now.
Sure.
Reading from a script. How does it all come together so perfectly?
Well, that is exactly one of the challenges, is that in the filmmaking, you have to keep so many different elements in your head that only come together at the end. You know, when you make a live-action movie, you see a version of it live in front of you on the set. Here, you're taking all these little pieces. It's really like building a model. I told somebody else, it's a bit like building a model ship in a bottle, you know. It's that kind of painstaking work. But one of the things is you don't really know what that ship's going to look like till the end. And then you see it emerge in front of you, and it's kind of a thrill. But it's also very suspenseful because you have all of these little, like exactly the way you just said, you have these disparate little elements that suddenly congeal. So you have to have that pretty clear in your own imagination.
Talk about some of the themes that those who see Despero will encounter there, especially the theme of forgiveness.
Well, it really is what redeems these characters, is that they're stuck in a kind of they're stuck in a trap of their own sort of vengeful hatred. I wouldn't even say hatred. They're hurt, they're wounded, and a couple of the characters feel even vengeful. And it's only through an act of forgiveness that they can get free enough to be redeemed. And so it's a wonderful story in that way, that forgiveness actually sets these characters free. And listen, when you work in Hollywood and you get to make a movie about forgiveness and kindness and redemption, I mean, that doesn't happen very often. So, you know, it's the first, I think it's the only G-rated movie of the Christmas season. So it's wonderful to be able to do something like this right now.
Talk about the style of animation. I mean, every one of these animated features has their own very peculiar style, and so does Despero.
Well, we wanted you to feel as if you'd walked away. You know those, when you read your favorite kid's book and you probably have your favorite illustration, I don't know, you probably had one, right, as a kid, where you pored over that book and you remembered that one illustration or those few illustrations that just stuck with you, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we want you to feel when you leave the theater that you've just had that rich an experience and you've seen that great, wonderful illustration that you treasured from childhood. So it's not glossy or overly polished the way a lot of animated movies are. It's much more painted, even though it's done in computers. So it's this fascinating, amazing-looking hybrid of almost a hand-drawn CG movie come to life in front of you. It's almost like the painting itself has come to life. I've never really seen anything like it. The guys who did this in England are just brilliant, and it's an amazing-looking movie.
What is your favorite, without giving any kind of spoiler, what's your favorite scene?
Oh, I have a lot. I mean, I think one of them is when Despero is in the classroom, and all the kids are there, and they're going through, I mean, it's probably in the trailer, so people may know it, they're going through flashcards, and they're trying to teach the mice to be afraid. And Despero just doesn't know how to be afraid because he just wasn't born with that. So they're going, cheese, 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 carving knife, and everybody dives under their desks. And Despero just looks at this and goes, oh, my God, that's beautiful. And like, oh, this is a problem, kid. But he's born without fear, and what a gift that is to give to any kid. And the reason he doesn't have fear is that he really has the courage of his own convictions and his own sense of right and wrong. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to impart.
Okay, a lot of filmmakers are making great films. I'm a great have great appreciation for the craft there. But it seems to me, especially in the last 10 years, that some of the best stories, and then I think by inference, some of the best films, have been animated with the new technology that's there. They're just captivating, not just for kids, but for everybody. Why is that?
Well, I think that, first of all, I think that that's where kids' movies are, and that you know, there's a renaissance of this, and I think that that's, you can do such rich things when you're dealing with kids' thematic material, but also I think part of it is just the process. You know, it's so much more handmade. You know, movies are, live-action movies are slammed out faster and faster, you know, and it's like, you know, it's one of those things where, not that the quality gets compromised, but you can't really be as painstaking as you can sometimes in an animated movie. Plus, I think it's very inspiring to write for kids. And in this case, I wouldn't say kids, I would say families, because one of the things that Kate did was really provoke, like I said, a conversation between parents and children, you know. And this was read at a tremendous amount of bedsides. More people have read Despero by far than were ever exposed to Seabiscuit, for example, my last movie. It's an enormous phenomenon, and I think it's because it's something that parents and kids share together. So there's just a vibe that you're able to write to, and there's something kind of inspiring, I think, to be able to work on a movie for parents and kids together.
Folks, we posted a link to the website for the film, The Tale of Despero, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. The Tale of Despero debuts this weekend. Gary Ross is the writer and producer for the film, The Tale of Despero. Thanks for being our guest, Gary.
Oh, it was a real pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back, more issues, etc. You know, I think the reason it is that these great themes that make for good storytelling, period, forgiveness, love, a transition, an arc from, in this case, from fear to genuine bravery, the reason that they ring so true is because we're dealing with truths here. Not just the fads, not just the fashions, not just what dazzles the eye, but stories that deliver to us timeless truth. We still, even in a postmodern age, are starved for truth. We'll be right back.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc.
Aaron Kober, Victor Hedrick, Tim Barron, Quinn Maricky, Paul Eggers, Jim, Timothy Switzer, Sherry Grody, Joyce McDaniel, and David Edmonds.
Thanks for your support.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.